Cave Comedy Radio is brought to you by AdamandEve.com. Input the code CCR at checkout for discounts.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
I'm gonna find my inner black flame. I'm gonna find my inner black flame. I'm gonna find my inner black flame. Yes, I'm gonna find my inner black flame.
Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everybody. That's Marcus Parks.
From that inner black flame. Oh, I'll gain strength from that inner black flame. Yes, I'll gain strength from that inner black flame. I will grow through my inner black flame. Was there any other thing to the verses?
No, it's just repeating. It's Satan,
yes,
created my inner black flame. Yes,
and
Satan created.
It's gonna rise and shine as I follow in the footsteps of my God.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, was Satan's favorite country and western band, the Fat Boys and the Jersey Blues. That was very nice, guys.
We found this great website of satanic hymns and prayers.
I mean, they didn't seem that creative, considering Satan also created Jimi Hendrix and a bunch of other great metal bands and every single influential sound that we've heard since the 1960s. I would say they've fallen off a little bit with their poetry.
But I will say that whoever put together this website, I'm trying to see who is the name of the person who put together this website.
It's copyright. 2007, Marie Ravensoul.
Marie Ravensoul.
Is Ravensoul her maiden name, her birth name, or was that just something she thought of in the mirror?
I think she thought of something in the mirror, absolutely.
Okay.
So it's updated, yes. It's just the beginning. This website is under construction. New changes are taking place, and so pages will be included when new content is added to them. You can contact her at ravensoul15@hotmail.com. Satanic blessings, Marie Ravensoul.
You can also find her at OKCupid at Ravensoul. And I'm sure she's a gorgeous woman. This is part two of our special on satanic ritual abuse. All right. So obviously in the last episode, we got Marcus's side of the story.
Pretty academic.
Very
absolutely
academic.
But people liked it, though.
They loved it.
Of course.
Yeah.
We do our research on this podcast.
Yeah, you were right.
We do not skimp on the listener.
Absolutely.
We want
not
you to know as much as we do so that you can also ruin your personal relationships with your knowledge of the occult.
And we want to say we just got the numbers back from the episodes. Everything is climbing great. We have a huge multitude of listeners.
I want to say
it was wonderful. So thank you guys so much for listening, and continue to spread the word of Satan and of the last podcast on the left, because we are here for you.
Because again, what happened with the SRA abuse cases, I'm going to say SRA because it makes me feel like Russ Dizdar, true knight of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say that that Satanism's gotten a bad rap.
Right.
You know, it's about being cool. It's about being fun. It's about listening to rock and roll music. It's about, you know, wearing tight pants and walking around and kissing dudes and girls,
sure,
you know, hanging out.
Satanists also tend to have about an inch of rubber on the bottom of their feet. They love a nice sole. They love a good high heel. So, Henry, let's get right into your version of satanic ritual
abuse.
Well,
first we're going to fully wrap up Marcus's version of the quote-unquote truth that he says is how it actually went down. So again, just remember what he says. This is the government's version of this story.
Of course, of course. And what we left off on last time was multiple personality disorder, which was something that was popularized in the United States through the publication of a book called Sybil in 1976.
It's a great book, actually. Even better movie. A lot of tits in it.
It was a TV Sybil movie as well. That was
there no tits in it?
No, there's no tits in it. It was TV.
I just put them in there.
Is that a C in Sybil or an S?
An S in Sybil. It was about a woman who developed 16 distinct personalities after being raped and tortured by her mentally ill mother. And that is what a lot of people say multiple personality disorder comes from. Usually it's childhood sexual abuse. People will create different personalities in order to deal with each separate abuse incident. But the thing is that before Sybil came out, in 1970, there were fewer than 200 worldwide cases of multiple personality disorder, with
absolutely
only a handful in the U.S. By 1984, there were 1,000 multiple personality disorders cases being reported in the United States
think
alone.
Think about
each
how
year
much more interesting you are, mm-hmm, if you tell someone you have 15 personalities. You know what I mean? It explains all the weird shit that you
do. Well,
did.
Then what personality is this one? This is the one that brags about the 15. That's my current personality. I do think if I could write the ending for girls This is what I wanted to be. Lena Dunham shirtless, looking in the mirror. We find out she had no friends.
She had no friends whatsoever.
She was all of her friends. Sex in the City could have ended a similar way as well.
And here's another interesting...
Also realize that Lena Dunham and I have the same body.
I showed Henry Zabrowski the glorious
breasts. I've seen both of you naked, and I agree.
Mm-hmm. The glorious breasts of Lena Dunham the other day, and you were shell-shocked by the fact that your breasts should have a SAG card for acting in that
sweet show. We have the same nipples.
The exact same nipples
as
Lena Dunham from Girls.
You do.
Yeah, and the same perfect vagina.
Here's the satanic connection to multiple personality disorder. A large percentage of patients come from fundamentalist Christian families, mostly Pentecostals, and Pentecostals tended to integrate devil possession with multiple personality disorder.
Any sort of psychological disorder, anything that involves, especially, you know, like women being hysterical, especially anything involving females and psychological problems, they always put the devil like in there because God forbid, you know, our perfect pure young daughter would like want to be a lesbian or like want to like pierce her nose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she must have the devil inside of her, and she does.
And a lot.
Oh, she does. But it's a little devil.
She do.
It's also stressed as a science. I remember, you know, a lot of people who think like possessions and things when the person is just bipolar, has a real medical condition. They're like, well, it's the devil. I got kicked out of Sunday school in third grade for not being able to speak in tongues because I have one personality and the other one is not a demon.
And again,
so they stress these things.
We see this as well. What you're going to see a lot in this podcast is what actually happened with the MK Ultra program, the training program, which we speaked about in previous episodes, which is real. The fracturing of our personality in order to create perfect spy people is the same exact thing. Is that using trauma, you can crack open a person's personality and hide things in there. And there's a lot of people who believe, I mean, the truth of the matter, which is that Satanists were sort of at this time, like, again, maligned by our government, but they were using the cruel treatment that our government used towards actual people in America in order to create super spies against innocent people under Satan's name. Praise Satan, I can't believe someone would do that to him.
Praise Satan, praise indeed, Satan. Henry. Good point. I guess it'll explain where you lost your keys. Oh, that's in my third personality. What an idiot.
And I think we have definitely covered in a past episode, a previous Satan episode, of a woman who was bouncing back and forth between exorcism and actual therapy.
And you know, she died.
There was a woman who, remember, she went to one of those conferences that was held in a hotel room, and she was like, you know, I really believe that this, you know, he's bringing Satan out of me. And they're like, how many times have you been? She's like, I've been 13 times. And how much time?
Oh, yeah,
how much does
right.
it cost? She's like, it costs $500 each time.
Oh, yeah, it's a total scam.
Yeah.
So the man bringing Satan out of her was the scam artist in this situation.
Exactly.
And it was the same episode that we did the three hot 16-year-old girls.
Yep.
Yes, the demon fighting episode. Also featuring Russ Dizdar, who's making an appearance in this episode as well.
Dizdar is all over this podcast.
And another a more famous and more shoddy version of what happened with the multi-personality, like that whole phenomena, was Jenny Hill, who wrote her book 22 Faces, which is about her being strapped to a cross as a child and being raped, and basically sort of believing that she had 22 different personalities, and that's she was the one who experienced the burning in my rectum.
She had the burning in the rectum. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there was some sort of burning. Yeah, because that's just thinking, I don't know what they were doing to me down there, but you know, it sure hurt like a darn.
It hurt like
you
a
know,
darn.
Which is, to me, it's like if you were raped by a satanic priest funded by our government, would you say it hurt like a darn? Would you
She's
be like, he just... He put a good bone inside of me.
She's a good Christian woman.
Oh, it hurt like a heck of a darn.
Heck of a darn, indeed.
When he cut my nipples off.
Yeah.
Hey, cut my nipples off.
What did it feel like?
Cut my nipples off. It hurt like a darn.
It hurt like a darn.
That's why Jamaican. Yeah, again, I can't do that.
It all goes to Jamaican, always.
Yeah,
I could not believe the Satan took my coconut.
All right. Well, that's just going down a road that we're not allowed to go down. All right. So, Henry, let's get your ideas here. So we've got the government angle. What do you think satanic ritual abuse is all about?
Well, let's get back in the way, way back machine.
Yes.
You know,
really the way back machine.
And go to Hitler's Germany.
Oh, wow. Okay.
As normal. Now, again, we were talking about with the MK Ultra program.
Can this be like Quantum Leap? Can I be his wife?
Yeah, you want to jump into his wife?
Yeah.
She was a wonderful photographer. We talked about this.
No, we haven't talked about I don't think we've talked about Hitler's voice yet.
Yeah, Hitler's secret life, Hitler's private life.
Yeah, Hitler's private
we'll do a whole episode about Hitler because he's fun.
Yeah.
misunderstood.
I think he was relatively understood.
Yeah,
that's one thing about Hitler we do know. He was understood. A
lot of documentation on him. Not enough on, you know, like Adrian Brody.
I'll tell you this. Jenny Hill girl, now that I think about it, if it was a different time, she could be, you know, like Satanist Jim Carrey. You know, she's just full of 22 faces, quite a
you
bit.
Know, have you put together a character reel for SNL? Oh, you should be on Saturday Night Live.
I mean, I will say all of your faces do look like there's a burning in your rectum. So if you could just, like, settle that down
this
a touch.
This is Ann Coulter at working as a cashier at a grocery store.
As if there's a burning in her
there's
rectum.
There's a burning in my rectum. You wanted tomatoes? Oh, it hurt like a darn.
All right. Well, I'm just going to be every yogurt,
yeah, hurt like a darn is going to be the big new SNL catchphrase.
Yeah. And her but her therapist did say that this is a direct quote. Boy, if this was not real with her, she deserves 17 Academy Awards.
17?
You love me. You really love me. I'm sure you rate me, and it hurted like a darn.
You know Meryl Streep reads who, like, she has a Google alert for Academy Awards every time it pops up. When she saw that, she's like, why can't they say that about me?
Intriguing. Intriguing. Well, I'm sorry, Meryl. You don't currently have a burning in your rectum.
Well, why doesn't someone just strap me to a cross and rape me then?
I'll do it. No, not you.
So it begins with Hitler. Now, this is modern-day Satanist activity. Now, let's say, you know, Satan, our Lord and Master, has been here since the very beginning. The light bringer, the giver of the secret knowledge, as the snake, if you reverse the whole thing, snake's just hanging out in the Garden of Eden, seeing two naked people, not fucking.
Sure.
And he's just like, how do I get these people to start fucking?
You know?
He was the hitch of the Garden of Eden.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
He's a good wingman.
Yeah. And he goes in there and he's just helping them fuck. Because he knows it's like there's a party in your pants. You don't need to spend all day avoiding the apple tree. You know, we could just fuck each other. Yeah.
Get on in there, yeah.
But let's say his message was perverted later on. There's a lot of belief, you know. Hitler did have a pretty a keen obsession with the occult.
Oh, yeah.
Which I understand. I mean, it's easy to get into. You're under a lot of stress.
Sure.
You know, you've started a multinational war. You know?
Little do people know, the Nazis actually had Google.
Yeah,
yeah, they really did. He was the first one with the internet.
G-U-umlaut G-E-L.
Yeah.
Google.
Google. Yeah.
Yes. And what it was a Jew strapped to a board that would tell him anything that he wanted
to
know.
He had a lot of information, though, to be fair. He was a Wikipedia page.
So Google, tell me how many ounces are in a quart. 14!
Interesting.
But maybe it is 14. I'm not sure, but, you know, you can...
Ew.
Oh, that was 14. Okay.
Google.
Well, what is true, what began as a long time, so there's a lot of belief that Hitler may be a part of, as we see again, a current train of thought, and that what the New World Order is, or Satanist organizations, or reptilians, what they want is to lower the human population in order to make us easier to control. And also, that lowering the population, the said murder and sex rituals involved in it will help create the magic needed in order to open the portal to let Satan's armies in to create chaos over the entire galaxy. Because it's bigger than just us.
Oh,
we're talking about the Milky Way.
If you're part of the New World Order, you would be happy with the gay movement, with the gay cause.
I mean,
it works better for what you need.
You got men marrying men. That's next thing you know, it's like, I'm going to be able to marry this chair. You know, next thing you know, I'm kissing a goat.
So the NWA is a very liberal movement, and they're not happy with our Supreme
Court. Incredibly liberal,
right,
and that's the problem.
Okay.
They're so liberal. They just want chaos everywhere. They want men wearing pants as shirts.
And
men
insane.
Wearing gloves as shoes.
That's insane. I'm with
that's
you.
What
that's
they
nuts.
Want.
Yeah, gloves as shoes. That can't keep you warm. Then what are your feet doing?
But there's a lot of people. So, you know, again, you know, that magic magic ritual is heavily powered by sexuality and violence. Because the spilling of blood, the shooting of blood, as if the shooting of the arc of a line of semen.
Yeah. Yes.
Which we'll get into that later.
Yes. And they began
a program.
They will
also get you an A in an art class. class. There was a fellow I went to school with who took a picture of semen coming out of his cock just right after he jacked off. I went to the exhibit, and he did get an A, and I didn't fully get it. It was definitely, I was just like, yeah, Eric, you definitely came, and then you took a picture of that.
Everyone's drinking milk.
Yeah, and we're like, this is brilliant.
This is really good.
It's pornography.
It is pornography.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose so. There was no face that it was the semen was hitting. It was just hitting the floor. So maybe
it's a cum fountain.
Yeah, it's a cum fountain. Anyway, so we have blood streaming like semen.
But they began a
like
program.
Like a Metallica album cover.
Where it began, yeah, exactly. Where the actual truth began, mm-hmm. was in 1939, they created this program called Lebensborn, mm-hmm. right? And this is totally true. They created a program which was to use extramarital affairs, basically single women that were in Germany that were big-titted, wide-hipped, perfectly blonde women, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That they would line up to be fucked by SS officers, the biggest, strongest FS officers, like your grandfather.
Indeed.
And that they were trying to make perfect children.
Yeah.
And part of it. And
not perfect grandchildren.
No.
Yeah.
Far from the tree you are.
Yeah.
At the same time, give you blue eyes, blonde hair, you'd be an amazing enforcer.
You had a nice Yoda moment there. Far from the tree you are.
Far from the tree you are.
Indeed.
And so... Where that began, I guess innocently enough, they would give medals to women that made big, strong German children.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, of course, you know, in order to, you know, further the Nazi regime. And then there's also beliefs that these women were started there, were being used in unholy, ceremonies with SS officers.
How many
in
women,
order to create Satan babies?
How many women do you think were involved in this program?
Hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
That's the truth. That okay. is true.
Well, in 1939, membership stood at 8,000, of which 3,500 were SS leaders.
Yeah, so they were the 3,500 dudes to 5,500 men to banging ass.
Okay, so 3,500 women and 5,500.
It was 8,000 women.
Oh, so
5,500 women, 3,500 men.
Oh, okay.
Yes, just banging ass.
I like those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah, yeah. It's like Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State. Woo!
All right.
That's what we did. We had our own gonorrhea.
No, Florida State.
That's where it started. And eventually, they're like, oh, we keep making tiny babies. We're not making strong enough babies. So they would go and look for big, strong, blonde, blue-eyed babies mm-hmm. in Poland, in Austria, wherever they could find them. They would go through and they would steal these babies, put them into these programs where they would start beginning what was the very big, the beginnings of the MKUltra mm-hmm. training, which was, you know, using psychological and physical torture in order to create fractured personalities that they would then use for their own means. Now, this is this idea where at some point Hitler was so obsessed with this idea of bringing Satan to the world
mm-hmm.
that all of this went underground. They shut down the program, but it kept going. And when Operation Paperclip happened in the 1950s, after we spanked the
and Operation Paperclip is the MKUltra project.
Yes, we brought them over.
Operation Paperclip is bringing the Nazis to America to do science for us.
And you could say that this means that everything's like this is I find this really interesting because you see the same story in three different conspiracy theories, right? You have the reptilian agenda, which uses this theory as well, that this idea of creating strains of DNA that are
superior bloodlines,
right? Also MKUltra, which is real. So, which came from Nazi science. It's mm-hmm. entirely real. And the idea that the Satanist organizations are using the same exact training techniques that MKUltra was doing also somehow aligned with reptilians. So it's like it's all real or it's all fake. And there's no way that's true.
Yeah. I mean, right? That's not insane. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So Satanist... Uh-huh. MKUltra and the reptilian agenda all intertwine into one sort of bizarre DNA strand.
But it's more like they just don't know who to call the villain. And I understand why you want to call people wearing black and shaved heads and black goatees and pentagrams. You want to say they're evil and not groovy, and that's just because you're a fucking nerd working for the government.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? You can't understand. He's cool, you know? His name's Henry. He's out there zigzagging around.
Oh, yeah. His name is Henry?
Yeah, he's cool. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think you just described the... bad guy from The Matrix.
yes.
And I don't think he looked anything like you there.
But it's true. I
was on the subway today with Henry, and I'll tell you, he gets some funny looks from girls. Jenny Hill might have 22 faces, but whenever a girl sees Henry, they have one face, and it's disgust.
Well, I don't understand why I'm so cute and small. Mm-hmm.
You are cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I do when I see a girl.
Okay.
I see a girl oh.
hey, you got big bags of fat in your chest, huh? Let me suck on them. Let me suck them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do in the train.
No, I've seen you do
it. Gotta get a seat on the train.
Yeah. It tends to get everybody off of the train.
I just find it very... So this is where we're happening. So apart when this satanic... like panic again. Satanic panic. When that was going on in America, it was also the same time that there was the recovery period after MKUltra had ended.
Oh.
So it's like if you really look at it in the late 1970s, when this stuff started happening, was when MKUltra was shut down officially, secretly. So the hangover from that, like from the psychic driving that was made in Canada, like and the fact that they used mixed symbols. So like, what's her name? Colleen O'Brien. When Colleen O'Brien was talking about when she was raped by the government, like she was taken by the government and she said that she was there with, you know, Gerald Ford, George Strait, another country singer was there. Mm-hmm. They were all there raping her.
Yeah.
And it's because they put this imagery in her mind. So who's to say these people who said that they were part of childhood like programs or make satanic super soldiers? What if they were being used by the government?
All right,
that's where the physical torture got turned into psychosexual torture by autosuggestion in order to create fear.
So 1939, Hitler had, what was that called?
Lebensborn.
The Lieber. And then we had MKUltra totally in 1950.
Which is totally real.
And then in 1970s, we started with the satanic ritual abuse.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like it just turned into one thing and the next thing. So it's like it's something is going on. Whatever the fuck it is, I mean, it's got nothing to do with Satan because Satan doesn't want to hurt people. He doesn't believe in rape.
No.
Right? He believes in protecting each other's territory.
Well, then how do you explain the burning in Jenny Hill's rectum?
Well, she sat on a coal.
Well, I don't know why she sleeps
in
a fire.
I don't know what she's doing. She sat on an electric toothbrush.
Ah, yeah. That will increase some burning
in
your
rectum.
Yeah.
Well, MKUltra plays into disassociation theory, which plays really big into the satanic ritual abuse cases. With disassociation theory is that it's something that – it's Freudian. It's something that Freud came up with whereby someone's current mental state can be traced to a memory from childhood that was so terrible and so terrible and so awful that the person blacked it out completely.
Right. Yes, and so, the repressed memory idea.
Exactly, repressed memory.
Like that fat camp Henry can't remember.
What?
The fat camp? No, come back.
Forgotten again.
All right.
Yeah. And so it was something.
Just had to shove a crayon up his nose. The old Simpsons approach.
It was the dumbest. I mean, it's fucking stupid. I mean, it doesn't work. It's not real. I don't think that the repressed memory thing.
Even
I don't
if it
think
is
it's
real, it's so easily manipulated by people, as we said before.
Exactly.
These people are looking for money.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like these therapists are desperate for money because our government just can't give doctors money to run clinics because they need some sort of fucking political reason. So it's like in order to do that, you create the incentive for people to lie in order to create security for themselves.
Exactly. What these therapists would do, what Freud did himself is that he started thinking that women were like hysteria and all that, women with hysteria. He started thinking, okay, it's because of these past memories. So he would badger these women for 8-9 hours a day. He told a colleague that he was, quote, almost hoarse from pressuring them, but he completely gave up on it because the stories start, the more he would pressure them, the more bizarre the stories would be.
It's like being tortured in Iraq. It's like what was going on with these people. If you push them hard enough, they're going to say whatever it is that you want
to
hear. It's like Google back
to
in
Google.
Germany's days.
Exactly.
You know, it's like what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know, just being like, I'll suck your dick. You know what I mean? Like, didn't get anything
porn
to
site?
Stop them.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting when it comes to, like, the satanic idea. Just people were just looking for a symbol to latch onto, and I think the government also knows this, and this is why, like, people who research UFOs are constantly ridiculed. And this idea is like, well, we are using them to train them as spies.
Yeah,
like we are. But in order to make sure nobody ever fucking believes them, we'll have her fucking corporal dress up in a fucking black cloak and like put a thing, like literally we'll have him dress up and go and like and administer the like the LSD to this little girl in order to fraction their personality, and that she'll think she saw this crazy shit and then afterwards she'll be like, I was tortured by Satanists, and I'll be like, you're a moron. You know, it's like, that's not true.
Well,
and then you also then the Satanist thing also fires up the most ignorant portion of the country.
Yeah,
like the whole country. It's like it was like, I knew it was the devil. You know, like, mm-hmm. And so you then have the dumbest part of America are the ones that are most against it. So it's like, or believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like only dumb people believe in it, and she's crazy for saying it. So we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, and here's the first case in which satanic ritual abuse really came to the forefront in America was the McMartin preschool case.
Yeah.
It's different from other satanic ritual abuse cases that came after it, because most of the time afterwards, they resulted in convictions. McMartin didn't have any convictions whatsoever, but it started with a woman called Judy Johnson. Mentally ill Bible beater.
Okay.
Yeah. So she... became obsessed in 1984, became obsessed with her son's anus.
She loved the anus. Something mm-hmm. with the anus.
I can see that. I can see
readers.
That, though. You know?
Yeah.
Except times
yeah.
when I see a little kid running around, I'm just like, oh, I want to see it.
I do feel like that's one place yeah. where Satanists and religious zealots can really get along, their love of the anus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They
yeah.
always seem to be talking about it, touching on it, putting burning in inside of it.
There's a burning maybe.
So this woman started inspecting her son's anus daily, every day. Uh-huh. And on the morning of August 11th,
what
Judy,
was she looking for?
Signs of abuse.
For it to wink at her.
By well, but it is the abuse.
Yeah.
Like
that
her
is
looking
abuse.
At, like a mirror would have been the sign of the abuse, because you're looking in your boy's anus.
Yeah.
Yes. She examined Matthew before he left for the McMartin preschool, and he looked normal. But when he returned home that afternoon,
it was shaped like Abraham Lincoln's head.
Isn't that insane? All hairy and things.
It was red. It was red again. But this kid had also been having diarrhea, and from what people say, he had chronic problems with hygiene.
I mean, buttholes are red. Aren't they red?
I don't know.
I think they're red.
I don't like buttholes.
All right. Yeah. So what did Judy figure out?
And so Judy started looking more and started becoming obsessed.
She, like, leave tape on it like they did, like, what they do in hotel room doors when high school field trips.
Yeah.
So she started becoming...
this string is broken, when you come back, I'm going to know some satanic ritual abuse is going on.
Well, she started becoming obsessed with the employees at McMartin Preschool, because she thought for some reason, like, she was high... like, and later on, she was completely discredited because people found that she was mentally, like, clinically ill. But by the time they found that out, the ball was already rolling on everything.
Oh, yeah.
So she went with this guy, this poor motherfucker. His name is Ray Buckey. And Ray Buckey...
doesn't sound like a guy who's going to have all the money. That's too bad.
Noel Ray Buckey had no money. And he was a beach bum. He was just some surfer dude, because McMartin happened in California. He was just some beach bum surfer dude. And he liked to wear baggy shorts a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Why not?
Naturally.
Also didn't like to wear underwear.
See, this is the thing, though, is he worked at a daycare, right?
Yeah, he worked
this
at a daycare.
This is the problem, is that you must wear underwear at the daycare.
Well, you can't go out there looking like John Hamm. Have you guys seen John Hamm's penis
it's
for Mad Men?
It's pretty ridiculous.
This is not
wear
page
underwear.
7.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You should listen to it, though. It's a very entertaining podcast.
It's very
massive
entertaining.
Massive penis. On
So one day, one of his balls fell out.
Yeah.
Fell out. How does that happen?
He crossed his legs and one of his balls fell out underneath.
In the classroom.
Okay. And one of the little kids went up and touched it.
Which is what
you
do
the thing,
as a kid.
At the same time, especially when you got little googly eyes glued to either side of it.
You have no idea. I mean, if
a
you're
funny
a
funny nose drawn on it.
Yeah. Right. You're a kid. You have no idea what balls are. You've never really seen a hairy hanging sack before. If you do see that, I mean, it's your first instinct to grab it, punch it a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so Judy, along with her Bible thumping and her mental illness, and now with this new testicle allegation, she started pumping her son for information constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly asking him
questions.
Of course,
being like, what are they doing?
And
what are they doing?
Yeah,
here?
What are they doing? What are they doing? I mean, hours and hours a day. And she wouldn't leave the kid alone until he gave her some information.
Of course.
And
again,
then once,
it's the same exact... it's like if you keep pressuring for information, you're going to get exactly what you're looking for, which is what they want. Everybody wants their biggest fears confirmed.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you have when you're a moron and you get your biggest fears confirmed, it's like, again, it's like you want to desperately believe that there's something else going on with your kid, because God knows your kid just can't just, like, go to day camp. You can't. I mean, honestly, your kid can't just touch a sack of balls and be fine.
Well, what happened?
Because honestly, you could be. You know, I did weird shit. You know, it's just like, I was pushed down to my locker room in day camp. I was pushed down. They took off my towel.
Right.
Right? Everyone all sat around. They all laughed at how tiny my penis was. I'm 9.
Right.
You know?
It would have been bizarre.
I'm fine today.
All right, we're going to
do it. Yeah, no, you're totally normal. It would have been bizarre if you had a large penis.
Imagine if I had a big honking dick, and it would be like, man, you're great, Henry.
They would have made fun of you for that as well.
No, I mean, either way, they'd call me spaghetti pants.
Spaghetti pants? Why is that?
Long, thin. Rotini pants.
Just to give all you people out there an idea of how this questioning went, I have a transcript from one of the McMartin interviews with the child. This is between a police officer and a child. I'm going to be playing the role of the police officer, and Henry is going to be playing the role of the child.
We'll edit this out.
No, I mean, I will say, though, that this is going back to a more current event. I just watched the interview with the prosecutor for that Amanda Knox situation, and that's exactly what he did. There was tons of evidence that said she didn't do it, and he found the few evidence that that made it look like her. So people do this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. All right. Here we go. Did she put the fork in your butt? Yes or no?
Leading question.
I don't know. I forgot. I don't know.
Oh, come on. If you just answer that, you can go.
I hate you.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You love me, and I can tell. Is that all she did to you? What did she do to your hiney?
What did she do to your hiney? Then you can go.
That's adult number two, by the way.
Mm.
I forgot.
Tell me what Kelly did to your hiney, and then you can go. If you tell me what she did to your hiney, we'll let you go.
No.
Please.
Weird kidnappers.
Okay.
Tell me now, what did Kelly do to your hiney?
I'll try to remember.
What did she put in your hiney?
The fork.
That's real.
Yeah.
That's
100%
real.
That was how they did it.
Yeah.
That's actually a lot like the Amanda Knox.
How they did it. And then it went from there, from just putting forks in the hineys to other allegations such as this. This is just some of the things
Can you just explain to me maybe, how do you stick a fork in a hiney? is the pointy end or the
No, I mean either end that you want. You just go, no one did it.
Right. Yeah. But do we have any indication of why they thought a fork was in the hiney?
These things just keep building one upon another. Like, here's some of the allegations. Here's some of the things that Judy Johnson said her son Matthew told her. Matthew feels that he left L.A. International in an airplane and flew to Palm Springs. That's a big thing. Kids being flown in airplanes and boats. And by the way, they're flown in airplanes during the time they're at the daycare. So, like, 6 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish that was my daycare. That sounds amazing.
Matthew went to the armory. The goat man was there. It was a ritual-type atmosphere. At the church, Peggy was one of the other McMartin defendants, drilled a child under the armpits. Atmosphere was that of magic arts. Ray, the ball man, flew in the air. Peggy, Babs, and Betty were all dressed as witches. The person who buried Matthew is Miss Betty. A lot of kids talked about being buried alive.
Yeah.
Babs went in with him on a train with an older girl where he was hurt by men in suits. Peggy gave Matthew an enema. Staples were put in Matthew's ears, his nipples, and his tongue. Babs put scissors in his eyes.
You know what, though, is it also sounds very much like people's remembering alien abductions as well. It's the same feeling.
Mm-hmm. She chopped up animals. Matthew was hurt by a lion. An elephant played. A goat climbed up higher and higher and higher. Then a bad man threw it down the stairs. Lots of candles were there. They were all black. Ray pricked his right pointer finger. Put it in the goat's anus. Old grandma played the piano.
I love it when she says, hello, my honey. Hello, my baby. Hello, that's right, that girl.
A baby's head was chopped off and the brains were burned.
Yeah. Right.
Peggy had a scissors in the church and she cut Matthew's hair. Matthew had to drink the baby's blood. And Ray wanted Matthew's spit.
This happened from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m.? Is that the hours of all this?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
And
busy.
And on all these cases, never a single shred of actual evidence.
So big thing is that they're dealing with kids. You know, you're dealing with kids. The kids have fragile like imaginations as it is. It's like you could say anything to a kid, they'll agree with you.
Yeah,
you don't believe me. I always tell kids, I'm president. I'm the president.
Sure.
Yeah. And a lot of kids were normal before the interviews, like because as more kids started coming forward, parents started getting scared and they started asking their children these questions, and the children be like, no, nothing happened. Everything's fine. But they kept
just
badgering
denying
them.
Stuff.
Yeah, they think they're just denying them because this is no shit. Here was the rule. this was the rule that all of these investigators had at this time, is that if they say nothing happened, then something happened.
Something happened. It's very Salem witch trial.
Yeah, very much so.
Well, then it's the same thing. Well, then we have there is some proof, though, of all this. Like, while this sounds ridiculous, if we really look at there's some people out there that are still brave enough to fight for the truth.
Sure.
And one of them is a personal hero of mine and us here at Last Podcast on the Left.
Well,
is,
I mean, don't.
Well, speak, all of us
speak,
here,
don't
I speak
for me.
All of
he's
us.
Gonna, if he
speak
says, like, Joseph Stalin or, like, Mengele, I'd be like, no, not really.
Rust is Dar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.
Sure.
He's been out there on the fucking front lines fighting the Satanists for a long time, and according to Rust is Dar, now, this is the truth. He's been working as a chaplain for the Akron, Ohio police, whatever, the bureau, for a long period of time, where his job was to go and identify satanic, like, markers of satanic crimes. Mm. That was his job. So he'd go in and he's like, you'd be surprised. A lot of these guys don't even know what a pentagram looks like. They don't know what a satanic wheel of justice looks like.
Sure.
You know, all this stuff that he's like, he's got all the symbols on lockdown that are all really, if you go to his website, ShatterTheDarkness.net, and buy his new book, The Black Awakening.
Mm-hmm. ShatterTheDarkness.net. Unreadable.
Unreadable website. Yeah. Can we read some of the press release from his new book, The Black Awakening?
Sure.
Okay.
The Black Awakening is a term told to me by a highly trained military psi warrior. Mm-hmm. It is about the plot to bring massive chaos to the USA and other nations.
Okay.
It is all about breaking down society and unleashing a new order, thus globalism. At www.shatterthedarkness.net, you can hear about and click the links to gain deeper insight into this international and global
agenda. Go down to
agenda.
The reader's quotes.
Reader's quotes, okay.
How the government lets this guy get
okay.
away with it.
Reader, a review from a reader. This book is awesome. I'm already on chapter 18. When I was waiting for the book to come out and going through the course, I was thinking that is all would be almost a repeat of information. I must say this book was 1,000 times beyond my expectations.
And the funny thing is, that's actually Russ Dizdar posing as a fan.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
I don't remember, because we featured him on the Demon Hunters episode as well. He writes his own bio.
He does.
And switches between, like, Russ Dizdar, like, to, like, I have been a fighter for the Angel's Power for as long as I can remember. But Russ Dizdar was a rock and roller from the 1960s, you know, performing in all sort of golden age Buddhism and Satanism.
He's got
and
some multiple
he
personalities.
He is a fucking meathead.
But he is. He is.
He's got a gigantic head.
He was on Coast to Coast, filling, really just getting to it with George Norrie, and he said that, yes, what I'm about to say, the numbers that he was about to say, and he said this, the numbers that I'm about to say, are they may seem crazy to you. Mm-hmm. He's like, but the amount of cases that I hear a year about trying to break people out of their satanic training.
Sure.
We're looking at close to 10.5 million victims of satanic training a year, which means that he's like, and you look at it, so 10.5 million victims, that means we're looking at least 60 to 70
million
activated satanic cult members in America trying to bring about the Black Awakening. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking, he does make a distinction between, like, Anton LaVeyism, like Satanism, and he's like, and he understands, he's like, yes, you know, he doesn't agree with it because everybody has boners all over the place,
sure,
and he can't deal with that, but he does say there's an ancient form of Satanism which was tied to the original, and this is also true, the original reptilian group that approached the Nazis about creating a super race back in the 1930s,
okay,
the Black Flame, which is the, you know, what Aleister Crowley served, since the beginning of time, the Black Flame has been the symbol of old Satan.
And that goes
Satan.
Back to the poem from the beginning, or the chant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and so he's been fighting against these satanic powers for a long time. And what he says is that when he was originally made chaplain for the Akron, Ohio police, which is like he blesses them before they go out.
Yeah.
He said he's experienced this a lot. Now, a lot of the things he talks about is multiples. You meet these people that are there. It's multiples, runners, assassins, all the names of these, like, various people, which is, again, very similar to the MKUltra training program. But the children, also known as chosen ones, the children that are chosen, bred for this standing in satanic cults. He was there.
So far, I've got Akron, Ohio. The chosen one, are we talking about LeBron James?
No!
Okay. All right. I'm just saying he is a super creature. He's
well,
a super
if,
beast.
You know if
he's
it's
the most
him,
athletic human being that's ever existed. From Akron. I mean, it's possible.
If he got a call on a phone and didn't speak it and just ran out the door, you know that he's
if
a,
I ever
he's
interview,
satanic
yeah.
assassin.
Yeah.
And also, I'd say if this has its roots in Lebensborn with the Nazis, I'm not sure a Schwarzer would be making it into the program.
I don't know. I don't know. Times have changed, though. Times have changed.
Is that a racial slur?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
I never heard it before.
It means black in German.
It does.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's very bad. It's a bad term. It's a bad term. Yeah. But the idea goes to, he says that he was with a police officer. They were driving, like he got done being like doing his orientation with the Akron police. He's in the car, driving like normal, and all of a sudden the police captain turns to him. We said with all the light gone from his eyes, like a robot, and he goes to him and says, "We know why you're here. Do you know why you're here?" And he's like, "Why am I here?" She's like, "We want to see how much you know, Russ Dizdar, so we know that how we can destroy you." Like, yeah. Like all Whoa. Of this, like random garbage. Yeah, all this stuff. And he said that the personality broke down. And what they do is that they do these prayer circles. When someone's snapping into a multiple personality, they surround him in a group and they pray on him until they don't feel bad anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
And so they said he experienced it a bunch of times. A friend of his who was a police officer, his wife, 5'1", it said that she was a part of this satanic program. It took five men to wrestle her to the ground because once she got the trigger call, because it literally, he said that's what he says, is that there's a phone call on a landline. She picks it up, drops a phone, and says, like, "Aah!" It's like this horrible beast.
Oh, so someone, they have like trigger words.
Yes.
Like and if someone's like, "Cheese balls."
Yeah, and they're like, "Ah!" They say that every single, and that's how they know. That's why he is absolutely certain that it's all connected back to Nazi Germany, because every one of these multiples, as he says, has some sort of German multiple. And so a lot of people break out into German, screaming in German, and I mean, that's frightening enough.
Oh, yes. You never want to hear screaming in German.
But basically, it's this sort of muddled idea that they not only they're Nazis, but they're Satanists, and they are working for the government, but they're also working against the government. So
what year well, are we talking
is,
about?
There is also
this is recent.
Okay, yeah. So Dizdar, we're talking like 1990s.
No,
or
Dizdar is like fucking operating today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it still considered? Because we had what was it? Lebensborn, MK Ultra, satanic ritual abuse. What is it now?
It's still SRA.
Oh, yeah. We're still there now.
I mean, the 22 personalities, I mean, that's recent.
Yeah, that's pretty recent.
Yeah,
it was
like
2005
really recent.
Or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and the FBI, if you're talking about both places, the FBI in the 1980s, let me see here, I think it was 1985 in Quantico, they had a conference about satanic ritual abuse, and they said that they got a hold of some minutes from an international Satanist convention held in Mexico, and the participants formulated a master
plan. Man, that must
plan.
Have been fun.
Oh, had to have been.
Mostly complaining about the bad buffet food, I see. I remember my ticket. I expected meat.
The participants formulated a master plan to conquer the world by infiltrating daycare centers and corrupting America's preschoolers. Now, the thing is about the minutes is that nobody actually saw any original copies of these. It was just some dude who was really behind this whole satanic ritual abuse. They used like, "Oh, no, it was there. It was there. Yeah, I found him. I don't have to show you." But they also
I just
said,
feel like
they
me
said,
as a temp is it's like the same. It's like the same working level. You know what I mean? It's like when I was a temp and I used to just like they would give me like financial records to like do or like you know, expense things out. I just throw everything out and say I did it.
That's a good idea.
Know? And so God knows the hundreds of thousands of dollars I flushed on the toilet.
Wow.
Just because they believe you.
Yeah. That's what I did when I had to work as a bouncer in a bar back. They'd be like, "Go hand out some flyers." And I'd just walk around and
throw
those
the
away
garbage
immediately.
Can.
Yeah. And they also said in Quantico that among the Satanists, once every 28 years, a human is sacrificed to the devil.
Ah.
Okay.
And here's what when was the last human sacrifice? Do we know? Is it coming up soon, the other one?
I don't know. But the FBI conference also taught its participants questions to ask children in ritual abuse cases, and it instructed prosecutors in what was virtually a tenet of the economical cutthroat Reaganite 1980s, that people who lacked high-powered jobs and large salaries were failures and even morally defective. This was a message conveyed as it informed readers that while Satanist men and women generally were intelligent, they were also, quote, working class underachievers whose interest in the occult reflected their mediocre lifestyles, which included the fact that they worked for minimum wage caring for other people's children. Do you hear that? The FBI thinks we lead mediocre lifestyles.
Well, we don't really care for other people's kids.
God damn it, I had 3 tacos today.
I saw you eat every one of them.
Yeah.
The room still smells like your tacos. That's great. Well, I think...
And another thing, the McMartin kids, this is just a fun little fact. The McMartin kids, they were all being, of course, lavished with praise the entire time. Mm-hmm. They were rewarded with visits from Mr. T and the cast of Punky Brewster.
Wow, that's amazing.
That is true. Mr. T came...
What about fucking Elf? You didn't get Elf there?
No, Elf, very, very expensive to get Elf. He's a raging alcoholic.
And then once Mr. T and Punky Brewster were coming, there were all these other kids that were like, no,
I
was raped too. And the parents were like, yeah, fuck you, you were raped. You're just saying you're raped because you want to meet Mr. T.
Want to meet Mr. T. Yeah, I've been raped.
So if you were like really sexually abused in the 60s and 70s, and then all these kids in the 80s were like, I was sexually abused, it's sort of like being a nerd in the 80s and 90s, and now in the 2000s, everyone's a nerd.
Oh, yeah. It's like everybody, super cool. That's what I was talking about, too. It's like, oh, yeah, you like comic books and stuff? It's like, yeah, comics are great.
Is it getting you a lot of pussy? Yeah, it used to not get me
any pussy.
Like,
people
sad
used to
alone.
Specifically not speak to me because of the things I like. That makes you a nerd.
Oh, you were diddled and now Mr. T is hanging out with you? Yeah, when I was diddled, I was crying.
I was crying. And I was left alone. Yeah.
Exactly.
It left me permanently with like a wedge between me and people.
Yeah.
It's very, very sad. But you have all the friends. So, hey, we have this similar experience. So if
like Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, Chris Hardwick. So if you were in the McMartin school and you were a pedophile, I guess that would be a good time.
Oh, my God.
Be
it's like hide in plain sight.
Right.
Yeah, all of those. And there were dozens of cases. And about
sexual misconduct happens all the time in these schools. Well, so there had to be one kid that was actually being sexually abused.
Well, from what my research told me is that a lot of – like I watched a video, the Christian propaganda video put out in 1994 in which a guy said, you know, his proof for satanic ritual abuse, like we have hard evidence that these things happen. And his proof was just the convictions.
Yeah.
So he had no hard evidence whatsoever. And I was looking at the cases that he kept bringing up because he brought up at least 10 or like about 10 cases throughout all of his spiel. And what it looked like some of these were, not all of them, but it looked like some of them were just your run of the mill molestation cases. Mm-hmm. And because of what was going on at the time, people were just tacking on the satanic thing to the end of it.
In order for people to pay attention to the actual real cases.
Exactly. And it's just people assume that if you were molesting kids in the 1980s, you were also a Satanist.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I hate to bring it up, but it's very similar to that prosecutor in the Amanda Knox case.
Yeah.
They attached the Satanism thing with her, too, and they thought it was
really?
This big, yeah, they did. They thought it was this big, like, sexual thing, and they were using, like, blood to cut with knives and all this shit. He made all of this
it just makes
bullshit
it just
up.
Makes the press and pay attention
exactly.
To
it. Yeah. So it's that is interesting.
I also, this is, I'm in a little floofy do here, right? But I also believe there has been recent studies that show this, and this is true, is that they're starting to believe. Well, where it came from was these sort of rejected studies from Operation Stargate, which was the remote viewing program that the government put up in order to teach our spies how to possibly psychically look at Russian spies' brains using like various like techniques.
He's thinking of vodka. How did you know?
But this idea that they're starting to believe that long-term memory is not housed physically in our brain, that it's accessed in a sort of cloud around us, and that it's literally what we've always – what Carl Jung and other people have described as the collective unconsciousness.
Right, which I'm a believer in.
I am too because I think it's real. I think that it's like an actual thing. It's like it's not like some concept. It's not a spiritual concept. It's a physical concept. Your brain – stores information in the air around your head. And I think that what happened with MK Ultra is so real, and it's very real, and it was so horrible that I think that it stuck in the collective unconscious. Huh. And I think that kids who are more receptive to all sorts of psychic phenomena, including like telekinesis, ghost visuals, alien abduction stories, I think that kids can link up to it as well. So that's why I think they know the more arcane, weird, like when they really like it sounds like they've been abused because it's like they know it instinctually.
Yeah.
And I think that there's something to it. I think that there is something to how the government fucked with an entire generation's heads and how that it reverberates.
Yeah.
And like it makes other people, it affects other people.
And do you feel like kids just feel like they've been molested if they haven't been molested now?
Maybe.
Yikes.
I don't. I was so lonely for so long as a child.
It would have been nice if you could have popped into that iCloud and
just
felt like
somebody
you were
really wants you for something.
I mean, the more that I read about this this entire chapter in human history, I really don't think people know how damaging the 1980s satanic panic was to this country as a whole in so many different ways. Like, it's made me terrified of like my fellow Americans in a way that I've never been before.
It plays itself out into real world situations like the Arkansas Three, those three boys
West Memphis.
The West Memphis Three, that was
three
a big
boys
thing.
Who loved metal music and drawing pentagrams and having lit candles and doing ceremonies because that's an amazingly fun thing to do. We used to do it in high school all the time.
And it's awesome. Yeah, and they help you talk to girls.
Oh yeah, I mean sort of.
I would talk to girls doing like ghost shit. It was awesome.
Yeah, they loved it.
They
loved you.
Yeah, everybody loves it.
Yeah, and the West Memphis 3 just now released.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. They were
and it was all because of you never hang out with, never hang out with the retard. He's always going to get you in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely, especially when you ask him when you're looking for a confession.
Yeah.
They'll do anything. They love to be agreeable.
They do.
And you know what? That is true. And that's why the kids were such reliable, that's why they were so forthcoming with this shit, because it's due to a couple of different things. It's due to what's called social desirability and secondary gain. Is that social desirability? Mm-hmm. These kids want to be loved. They want to be a part of something. So they'll tell these adults whatever they want to hear. And the secondary gain, fucking Mr. T.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Not fucking Mr. T, but, you know, you get to meet Mr. T.
Yeah, the A-team. Yeah. Punky Brewster's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I would say a whole bunch of different things that I didn't think.
You ever see
true,
her Playboy spread?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sweet. Good.
It and really exists? Some,
yeah.
Soleil's Moonfry?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And there was what this would actually do to these kids is that it would be this like cause and effect type thing where the kids would be fine. They would start to put all of this awful shit into their heads, and then one of them became obsessed with death, funerals, and cemeteries and began playing games in which she was pregnant, and Ray Bucky would slaughter her babies. Like, she would be pregnant, give birth, and then Ray Bucky would kill it. Another one had dreams about guns, knives, skeletons, and dismembered bodies. He stopped sleeping in his bed and would only sleep in a cardboard box. And another one was racked with fear that the devil lived in a jar in his house and was trying to control him. All of these kids were fine before all of this shit. All of the questions started coming up.
Oh, yeah, and then they filled their heads with this garbage.
And then they fill their heads with the garbage, and then the parents see this behavior as proof that they were abused in the first place.
There was mass ritualized torture in other parts of it. Did happen. So it did happen. With the MK Ultra.
With MK Ultra. Yes, it did happen.
So
but
it's like,
not in preschools.
Unless you really do believe that they started when they were little kids, and the Lebensborn program is still going on, and that MK Ultra is still going on, and we got the Aurora Killer is doing the same shit, and Sandy Hook, he's doing it too. Also, they could take our guns away, and the NWO can happen, and then Obama, the reptilian satanic overlord, right?
All right, I'm done.
All right, everybody. All right, that's Marcus. That's a good rant there at the end.
I just think, you know, let's just facts are facts.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Hail Satan.
Eat some popcorn.
Eat some popcorn.
That's fine. That's a fine one.
Hail Gene.
Hail Satan.
All right. Hail yourselves, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.